Proverbs chapter 12. Now we come to the easy part. I just get all nervous, those announcements and stuff. That's not what I'm used to doing. Proverbs chapter 12. On our way to get to Proverbs 12, I'd like to just go over a quick overview of the book of Proverbs. There's kind of some distinct parts to Proverbs, and I used to think Proverbs were just, you know, one verse telling you something important. And really, the book is broken down into some specific parts, and so we're going to look at some of that. But the definition of the word Proverbs, it means a comparison. This compared to that. So Proverbs means comparison. It's also a wise saying, what we think of as a proverb, an aphorism. But the word itself actually means a comparison. Just some interesting things about the book of Proverbs. The word and appears a lot in the book. It appears 455 times. Now, a lot of the time, it's just this and this, whatever. But there are places where that word and is used as a comparison. If we're looking at Proverbs 12, just a couple verses in there, verse 14 says, "A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him." So like a man being satisfied with the good fruit of his mouth, he can also be satisfied with the recompense of his hands. And so that's a use of that word "and" that you're going to see a lot in the book of Proverbs. Also, the last verse of the chapter, "In the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." So it's using that thing of comparison. Now, the word "but" you're going to find a whole lot, and this is used very much in the way you think of this, but that. Not this, but that. The word "but" is used 243 times. In this chapter alone, chapter 12, only three verses don't use the word "but" in this way. So just the first verse, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. But, on the other hand, he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn." And you'll see that word "but" used in the book of Proverbs, particularly in this section, chapter 10 all the way up to chapter 29. You're going to see, not every verse, but a whole bunch of them are going to be not this, but that. So it's that idea of comparison. So that word Proverbs, talking about comparison, you're going to see that a lot in the book. And then wise or wisdom is used 115 times in the book. And that word wise, there are a couple different words translated as wise in the book of Proverbs. But generally, the word means skill or skillful. Someone who has practiced this. To be a wise person, you have to work at it. It's not something that just happens naturally. You have to grow into wisdom. You have to practice to get wisdom. And so that word wise, used 115 times, and it's talking about skill. And then fool, foolish, fools, foolishness, 78 times in the book, which, you know, compared to the word "and" 455 times, that's not a whole lot, but there's only 30 chapters in the book. So at least twice on average in every chapter, you've got this idea of foolishness. And this is the word to be silly, to not silly as in goofing around, but nothing in the noggin, not thinking, not paying attention to what's going on. So that's that word foolishness. Understand or understanding used 62 times. Knowledge 42 times. the word son 43 times, the word daughter, zero. Now, that doesn't mean that this isn't for daughters also. This is Solomon talking to his son, and he's trying to teach him, trying to train him. And we can use this for a parent-child relationship, father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, whatever. But the word son is the word that's used in the book of Proverbs, and not daughter. So Solomon is talking to his son and training. So just some interesting numbers there that you would have these words used so many times. And then Proverbs 31, we're often told this is the Proverbs 31 woman, the wise woman. Something I heard a friend of mine say a year or so ago that's really impacted me a lot is you read through Proverbs 31 and you see all these things that the Proverbs 31 woman did, and that's an example for how young ladies should grow into womanhood. But what my friend said that was so impactful was, but she didn't do it all in one day. And I think so often we get discouraged by seeing examples like that, and we think, oh, I have to do this by the time I'm 23. And there, we have seasons in life, particularly as you look at that chapter, and this is true for guys too. It's obviously talking about a woman, and there are certain various qualities that are very specific to women in there, but she didn't do it all in one day. David didn't do everything he did in his life in one day. Solomon, the good parts, he didn't do all in one day. The bad parts, he didn't do all in one day either, but we're not taking those as an example. But when you read through these things, look at Peter in the Bible. Peter in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a very different Peter than you see in the book of Acts. A very different person. So Peter in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a man who is learning and growing and being shaped into the man that God wants him to be. And then we see in Acts a very different person than what we saw in the Gospels. Certainly, we should work to be a godly person, to grow in maturity and such, but realize that it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen in a single day. It's a process. It takes time to grow into these things. So don't get discouraged by reading through Proverbs 31 and say, I could never do that. Well, she didn't do it all in one day either. And that was such an encouragement to me to have somebody say that. So don't be discouraged by that. So you're blank there, though. It says Proverbs 31, that lady is described in an acrostic poem. So you know what an acrostic is? Like, I've been at camp the last few weeks. We have an acrostic for camp, C-A-M-P. So the first letter is controlled, A, atmosphere, M, for the ministry of preaching, P. So that's an acrostic. In Proverbs 31, this is an acrostic poem. It's the 22 letters, and I think it starts in verse 10 or so. It's the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order, A, B, C, D, E. The first letter of each verse is the letter of the alphabet. So it's an acrostic. One of those things that we miss in English because it has been translated into English. I don't know Hebrew. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me other than, wow, that's cool. But it is cool. We see these as sayings, but this is a book of poetry. This is a book that was laid out in a very particular way, and some of that we miss, you know, lost in translation. That's the case here. But it is an interesting thing. So the outline of the book of Proverbs. We have in the first 9 chapters, wisdom and foolishness contrasted. So he gives, chapters 1 through 9 are not all a single verse as a proverb. In some cases, it's three or four verses, or it's a whole chunk of verses. But it's comparing wisdom and foolishness. What a wise son would be like compared to the foolishness of the world. So that's wisdom and foolishness contrasted in chapters 1 through 9. And then 10 through 24, these are Proverbs of Solomon by Solomon. Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs, the book of Kings tells us. And so here are some of the Proverbs that Solomon wrote. And so these are Solomon, these are Proverbs that Solomon wrote himself, is what these chapters are. Chapter 10 through 21. So Proverbs of Solomon by Solomon. And then chapters 24 through 29, these are Proverbs of Solomon written down by men of Hezekiah. Men of Hezekiah is your blank. Proverbs of Solomon that somebody else wrote down that they heard that are attributed to Solomon. So Solomon had 3,000 Proverbs according to 2 Kings, but not all of them are in the book of Proverbs. But these guys, the men of Hezekiah, and I think I remember reading that they wrote that part of Proverbs, they wrote that down like 250 years after Solomon died. So these Proverbs of Solomon were well known and lasted 250 years till they got down to Hezekiah and his men. And then chapter 30, it's attributed to Agur, A-G-U-R, the Proverbs of Agur. And then chapter 31, the words from King Lemuel's mother. So this was a king's mother that spoke these things to him, and he wrote it down. And that's what gives us chapter 31. So that's just a quick overview of the book of Proverbs. But what we want to look at tonight is Proverbs chapter 12. And we want to look at several verses dealing with our words. Having healthy words, saying good and edifying things. And so chapter 12 has several verses in there about how words can be non-edifying and what we can do to help build up. So verse 6, it says, "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." So the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. They are destructive words. Words can be destructive, or the words of the upright can be constructive. Destructive or constructive. So your words can tear down or build up. Unfortunately, it's so much easier to tear down. It's so much easier to be critical and be damaging with our words. That is the natural thing. That goes to that idea of wisdom being skill, learning how to say good things, constructive things. And it doesn't come naturally. Foolishness comes naturally. It's that practicing and growing into wise words. So words can be destructive or constructive. Have you ever said this to your kids? You know, Johnny, I know he said this about you, but sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. So we teach our kids to say that, but we know it's not true. Words can be very damaging. Words can be very destructive. And it may make Johnny feel good at 6 years old, but the truth is that words can be destructive. Verse 13. We're going to run through some of these verses very quickly, and then we're going to get stuck for a bit. "The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble." So the transgression of his lips, the sin of his lips, saying the wrong thing, the wicked is snared by that. And then the just shall come out of trouble. So words can trap you or free you. Words can trap you or free you. verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Words can produce good and have value. Words can produce good and have value. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Words can create righteousness or deceit. Righteousness or deceit. Are your words honest, clean, kind, valuable, dependable? Are they good words, or are they words that trap and ensnare? And then here's the verse that we're going to spend much of our time on, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. There is, so words, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword. Words can be piercing. They can be destructive. They can be deadly, is the blank there. Words can be deadly, or they can be healthy. They can be words that build up. So words can damage or build up, deadly or healthy. Words can do massive damage. I hope that your blank, yes, yours does not have the same typo mine has. My paper says words can do massage damage. I'm glad you got the right word there. Words can do massive damage. They can be used to tear down, to manipulate. And as I was thinking through these things here, I was mostly thinking of our words within a family. How we interact as husband and wife, brother, sister, parent, child, whatever relationship you have with others, words can be used to manipulate, to tear down. They can be very destructive. Eye rolling, it's not words, but you're communicating. You say this, and the person responds with, okay, whatever. After a while, that can be very discouraging. Work on your words and the way you relate to others. I say you a lot here because I'm trying to deflect that. I don't want to talk to myself. But this has been very helpful to me. And again, don't be discouraged if this doesn't change overnight. Like Peter, there was a time of testing and growth and maturity. This is we have habits. We have practiced a very long time to speak poorly, to speak destructively. And we need to be aware that we can be damaging to a relationship. So early on in a relationship, maybe you have that eye rolling or the sighing, but it begins to wear down the person after a while. You end every conversation with, okay, well, that is destructive. That can be destructive. And be aware of the way you are communicating to the other. Also, kind of the other direction of that can also be destructive is saying things in a sappy tone like, oh, don't do it that way. Talking to your husband, oh, don't do it that way. That's not the right way to do it. Or guys saying that, or mansplaining. Y'all know what mansplaining is. I'm not going to explain it because then I'll be guilty of it. But over explaining things unnecessarily. And with the idea, now to explain something because you want to be helpful and informative, that's fine. But if you're always doing it because you think your wife doesn't understand, then maybe you need to back off a little bit. Ask if there's more explanation that's needed. at some point, when you are constantly going back over and explaining things again and again, the same thing over and over again, that can be exasperating for the person. They feel like, oh, I can never do anything right. I can never satisfy them because of the way I do this or that. So be aware that your words can be discouraging. And then the person just stops trying. So your next section, words can undermine a marriage. Absolutes, saying always and never. Always and, well, you always do this. Or you never do that. Now, is it true that your husband always loads the dishwasher wrong? Or that he never makes the bed? It's probably not true. And when you use absolutes like that, it can be discouraging to the person. It's like, well, if you think I always do this, then I'll just always do it. I've seen situations, and thankfully I've not had to deal with this one, but I've seen situations where a person was, they do it right most of the time, but get told, you never do this properly. And as an outside observer, I'm looking, well, the last 8 times they did it right, and now you're saying you never do it right? That can be discouraging. It's like, I don't always do it wrong, or I don't never get this right. So be careful of those words. Avoid absolutes. Never say never. You've heard that. absolutes can be damaging. So meanness. Sometimes we're mean and don't even know it. Humor's fine. There's a place for humor, but there's a time when humor becomes cutting and biting. Steph and I were in a church service. This was years ago. I think we were in Mississippi, and the fellow was up there speaking. It was a singing family, and the dad was up there talking, and he was telling jokes that were, to us as outsiders, funny, but you could tell that to his wife, those jokes ceased being funny years ago. And not jokes like, why did the duck cross the road? It wasn't anything like that. It was, well, my wife thinks I'm a god because she's always bringing me burnt sacrifices. Those types of jokes. And they were jokes pointed at her, which were, okay, the first time you hear them, they are kind of funny. But sitting there in the crowd, watching her reaction, those jokes weren't funny anymore. And we ought to be careful. Teasing is fine. Having a good time, playing around, that's fine. But it's when we get to a point of meanness and we don't even know it. I told my wife, I said, if he asks us to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, that's the chapter that says, husbands, love your wives. I said, if he asks us to turn to that chapter, I'm getting up and leaving. And he asked us to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And then and I didn't leave, because now I wanted to hear what kind of hole this guy, a grave this guy was going to dig for himself. And I was so mad. I was not happy that night. But sometimes we don't realize that our meanness is being mean and piercing. The verse again, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. We can be mean and not pay attention to what we're doing. We were with a couple recently where the husband was explaining to the wife how something needed to be done, and he was doing it. It was honestly very unkind, the way he was talking to her. And I was uncomfortable. I didn't make contact. My mom and my wife were with me. I didn't make contact with them, but I'm just sitting over there. Ooh, I'd like to just sneak right out of the side door here. Because his words were unkind, but he didn't know it. Because he wasn't paying attention to his words. And this is just a reminder that we can be unkind, mean, and destructive and not know it if we're not paying attention. Well, the wife in that case, she seemed like she was used to it. But she also didn't try to do anything on her own because she knew he was going to tell her that she was doing it wrong. And so just be aware that your words can be piercing, belittling others. Again, joking is fine, but it can come to a point where it's no longer humorous, but it is destructive. In our culture today, it's okay to belittle a dad or a man, a husband in our culture, but you're not allowed to say the same thing about women. Have you noticed that? Some of the jokes that we think are very funny against men, if you turn that around and said it against women, then it wouldn't be funny, and you might be in a lot of trouble. But yet we accept it whenever we're talking about men that way. So should it be acceptable at all? Be aware, be careful of the jokes that we say. Now, having said that, I'm going to give you some examples. What's the difference between whole life insurance and a man? Whole life insurance matures. Okay, so that's humorous. But if you said that about a woman, would you be in trouble? Would you get a rolling pin to the top of the head? Maybe so. Well then, ladies, maybe it's not an appropriate thing to say about men. I read on a website today, he said, making fun of incompetent dads is the last safe stereotype in our entertainment today. You can beat up on the middle-aged white male. That's the whipping post for whatever jokes you wanna tell. And again, it's not that you can't tell a joke and you can't have fun. There stereotypes exist for a reason. there are reasons that people think certain things about men. But if you were to say the same thing about children, about women, and it would be considered caustic or piercing, then maybe we shouldn't be saying it about men either. So we're in a section called meanness or belittling. Can you believe my wife does fill in the blank? And you tell that story just because you know it makes her mad and everybody else gets a laugh out of it. Be careful of the words that you say in your relationship with others. Brothers and sisters, parents and children, don't be telling. We love telling embarrassing stories about our children, don't we? Well, let me tell one. Oh, no. we tend to tell these stories that are cute when they're 2 years old, but when they're 14... it's not so cute anymore. Certainly not to them. So be careful about the stories that you tell. Sarcasm. It can just develop into a bad habit where we're just sarcastic about everything. Have you seen the T-shirt? My superpower is sarcasm. What's yours? Sarcasm can be funny, but it can also be piercing. It can be damaging. Beware that our words can be caustic and destructive. So that's the negative side of it. But words can be healing as well. Words can be healing. Gratitude is healthy. Gratitude, being thankful, is healthy. Even if something needs to be done anyway, you can still say thanks. Maybe your husband doesn't load the dishwasher the right way, whatever that means. Maybe they don't load it the way you think it should be loaded, but you can still be thankful that they at least tried. Now, don't say, well, thanks, honey, at least you tried, and then go back and fix everything he did. Wait till he's out of the room before you go back and fix it. So be grateful. Gratitude is healthy. Don't raise your hands. But guys, how many of you, or maybe ladies, how many of you don't load the dishwasher because you know you're going to get criticized for the way you do it? So it's easiest to just not load it at all than to be criticized for it. Now, some of us don't load the dishwasher because we're lazy. So we have to admit that too. But when you feel like whatever effort you give is going to be looked at with a critical eye, and that the person's never going to be thankful for it anyway, then why try? Have you ever got to that point? Maybe a project that you're working on, it's like, okay, I put in all this effort and nobody cares, so why should I even try? That's where ingratitude has been destructive. But here the verse says, the second half of the verse, but the tongue of the wise is health. So gratitude is healthy. You can just say thanks. Thanks for loading the dishwasher, or for making the bed, whatever it is. The dishwasher is an example because I think we've all struggled with the dishwasher. If not at home, at work, the dishwasher is a good example, but apply that wherever, whatever the dishwasher is for you. Let your words be healing. The second one, kindness is healthy. So gratitude is healthy. Kindness is healthy. The world is not kind, but we can make it the norm. We can be within our families, within our church, we can be kind to one another. We can be kind to the people at work. I realize you don't all work in the same kind of environment I do, but you can still at least be kind. And so kindness is healthy. Sincerity is healthy. That's the third one. Sincerity is healthy. You've heard it, mom says, if you can't say anything nice, then don't say anything at all. You've heard that? Well, you can sincerely find some nice things to say. You do have to say something for your words to be healing. For your words to be edifying, you have to actually use words. So say something nice. Learn to say nice things. And it is something that gets easier with practice. Again, wisdom is a skill. It's something that we grow into, we learn. And then the last one there in that section is gentleness is healthy. Gentleness. Use words that are loving, caring, affectionate. Make them the norm in your family, in your relationships. Practice healing words. Verse 18 again. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Your words can be healthy, can be healing. Verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Truth is eternal, lying is temporary. Truth is eternal, lying is temporary. Your lying will not solve problems the way you think they will. Your lies will. Lies will not solve problems in a permanent way. And here it says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. It's temporary. Verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now that word abomination is a very strong word in the Bible. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So our words there, God hates lying lips, but delights in truth. Beware of idle words, Jesus says. James chapter 3 is all about saying, being in control of your tongue and building up and not being destructive. Verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Good words make a happy heart. Good words make a happy heart. That word heaviness, that's the word anxiety or sorrow. So it says, sorrow in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, to bend down, to be drug over or depressed. Bad words can be depressing. But a good word, it says, but a good word maketh it glad. A good word that's pleasant, agreeable, has value, it's appropriate. A happy word, a prosperous word can build up, can make glad, can cause to rejoice, is what it's saying there. So your words can be used to tear down or to build up. Now, often we see in the Bible, thinking right thoughts, saying right words, we can encourage ourselves. David encouraged himself, the Bible says. We can speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But we can also use all of that to build up and encourage others. Don't forget to talk with other people. Use your words to build. I know some people tend to talk more than others. I don't like to talk. I'm very quiet. Why are you laughing? So I realize that there are some of us that have a tendency to use a lot more words than others. But you can use your words to be an encouragement. Even if it's few words, use your words to be an encouragement. Words can't heal if they're not said. And so this verse 18, is talking about healing words. Words can't heal if they're not said. Speak for encouragement and edification. Our words are important. Mom, dad, model good speech and good communication for your children. Don't allow cursing or profanity or any other form of wrong words to be said. And then at the bottom of your handout there, as I was looking through different things about the book of Proverbs as an overview, a whole thing, I saw this great video that you can find if you just go to dpeach.com/proverbs, and you can look at that, not right now, but after church, and that'll take you to this YouTube video. It's not my video, but I just put a link to it there. It was a good overview of what the book's about and how it can, knowing how the book is structured and what it means can be helpful as you read the book of Proverbs. Have you heard about reading a Proverbs a day? There's 31 chapters or 31, yeah, 31 chapters in the book. If you read, like today is the 24th, you could read chapter 24. So every day of the month, you could read a chapter of the book of Proverbs. If you're not doing any other Bible reading, then jump right into that. You can read chapter 24 today. I finished a Bible reading plan that I was working on a month or so ago, and until I've figured out what I'm doing next, I've just been reading Proverbs again and again and again. So the book of Proverbs can be helpful. But realize it is a skill. Wisdom is a skill. And that's what that word wisdom in the book of Proverbs is talking about. It is something that you practice and you learn and you get better at. Our words need to be practiced and be practiced to build up. We can all get better at that. I certainly can get better at that. And we can make the norm a norm of gratitude and being encouraging and helping and building others. We don't have to constantly be belittling and tearing down others. Again, joking, playing around, that's fine. But be aware that maybe your words are being hurtful and piercing, and you don't even know it. So be aware of your words. Let's pray. Dear God,